See? Yeah. All right, sing it with me out.
Maybe I succeeded a little.
Yeah.
Jumped up from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. 'Cause the glory ain't made for me. No, I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the song. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. See, as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. So I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from,
where they come from, y'all?
The Father's heart, not the sky, not a chance. But truth is, y'all ready? Y'all with me? Go! Hey! 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 Say! Hey!
I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
And I know it didn't happen by mistake. I love how he wrote my life, and I love how he sees my heart. So I fall to my knees and I say that I'm grateful for every morning star. So I don't thank my lucky stars, 'cause that's not where my blessings are. Where they come from, the Father's heart, not the sky, not a chance for you.
I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Up, y'all.
Say, I don't thank my lucky stars,
'cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not a chance.
All right, everybody in the room, jump with us. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not a chance. This truth is, sing it with me. Say, I could thank my lucky stars,
yeah,
but that's not where my blessings are.
Say, they come from.
They come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not a chance. The truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Yes. Give yourselves a clap and give Jesus a shout. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, y'all. So we just sang about being loved. But I don't know about y'all. Y'all have to sit. Y'all can stand up. Y'all can stay standing up. I know.
But stand up. We're still in worship.
Yeah,
stand
y'all
up.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Y'all worshiping with me. I can't do performance, no. Mm-mm.
Amen.
So we just sang about being loved, but I'm just being honest, and y'all can be honest with me. Do you always feel loved? Sometimes you don't feel it, but you know what? I am so grateful that God's word is true no matter how we feel. So even though we don't always feel love because God says he loves us, we are always loved. Does that make sense? So not only are we loved, but we're blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm blessed. Anybody here blessed?
I'm blessed.
Anybody here blessed?
I'm blessed.
Okay, I was just wondering if y'all know that. I like that song. So we're going to sing about the blessing, okay? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I need y'all to sing with me. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, the Lord bless you. And keep you. Make his face to shine upon you.
Be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's pretty much the whole song, and they'll have the lyrics up for y'all too. Y'all ready? All right, sing with me. Here we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You got it. All right, y'all ready? Sing it again. Sing it out. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now we're just gonna sing amen. Amen.
Favor.
be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and their children and their children and their children. Say, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and the children. Yeah. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations.
Just being so good to us, for loving us no matter what we've done, Father, for protecting us, for keeping us. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, so we've got your announcements. Let's see. What did we do? Come up here, Ryan. You might as well.
What's that?
Just come on up.
So last Saturday, we went to... actually, that was last Friday. This past Friday, we went to Epic Waters. It was so fun. It was exciting. We got a chance to be there. We were there from 1 to 6, so it was fun, y'all. It's in Grand Prairie, and I live in Grand Prairie, and I didn't know it was there. So they call it America's favorite indoor water park, but it was fun. Malcolm and Darren convinced me to go on, like, probably the scariest ride there. I knew they were going to do that. But it was fun nonetheless, guys. And so that was our last event for the summer. We're excited about going into the fall. But we had Six Flags. We had Epic Waters. And we closed out the summer right, okay? So it was good. It was good. It was good.
Awesome. All right, so I know we have some new visitors in the building.
Yes.
We're so happy to have y'all. We welcome you. We love you, and we hope that you guys come back. We are going to have some welcome cards being passed out to you
yes.
all. So if you
Raise
can fill
hand.
Those out so that we can just get to know a little bit more about you, okay?
So, raise your hand if you are new so those cards can be passed out. Yay! Yeah! Oh, my gosh, ooh, a whole cluster over
yes.
here.
Yes!
Welcome,
hold your hand
welcome.
Up. Hold it up,
welcome.
High.
So I'm Miss Natalie. This is Miss Tiffany.
Tiffany.
This is Mr. Ryan.
Hey,
we
hey,
say
hey.
Hello to so you. Good. Oh, there used to be a cheer. Y'all remember that cheer? We
y'all,
say
y'all
hello
have a
to
cheer?
You. We say.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to make up a new
cheer.
One.
I got to teach y'all the cheer.
Make up a new one.
Maybe it could be.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So, yes. So make sure you keep your hand up for the welcome cards
yes.
So that we can welcome you properly.
Yes.
All right. So prayer requests. If there's anything that's going on in your life that you want us to pray about, we are actually getting together and praying for you all, praying
Amen.
For this
Every
ministry.
Yes.
And so we also have cards for that. So even if it's a praise, or if it's some hardship that you're going through, write it down so that we can help you. So for those who want prayer requests, raise your hands mm-hmm. so that we can pass you a card for that.
And not only prayer for yourself, right, but prayer for other people. So we all should be praying for something, right? If it's not ourselves, then it's somebody else out there that probably needs our prayers, okay? So...
That's right. That's right. All right. And so a couple housekeeping things. You guys know the restrooms are right behind this media booth, right behind the cameras on the outside. If you would use that restroom, that's our restroom, boys and girls. All right. Please be respectful of the games and the church property. Also, don't forget to throw away your trash and put your phone on vibrate, please, during the service. Okay. So we've got a couple upcoming events for you. One is In the Paint.
Oh, snap.
In the Paint. And this is the roster for In the Paint this
yes.
year. And I am so geeked. I'm so stoked.
Where am I at?
Yes. Do y'all see my boy?
Okay.
Yes. Adrian Butler's going to be in the
that's
building. DJ Overcomer. We've got Pastor Chad bringing the
hey.
Leg. We've got a couple new faces, and I'm so excited. So make sure you come out. This event is going to be September 9th.
Okay.
All right.
September
and it
9th.
Actually starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay. I know you see 7 o'clock here, but if you look right here, we've got a live art party. We've got vendor shopping.
Hold on now.
Concession stands. I mean, it's going
come on,
to
y'all
be
don't miss this.
So much
y'all
fun.
Can't miss it.
Starting at 6 o'clock. So that's for you early birds who can make it. Right then
okay.
at 7 o'clock. We're going in. It's a whole vibe of worship through the arts, all right? So you're going to see some of your faces in it, all right? We've got all of our student ministries. They're going to be bringing it that day.
Ms.
So
Natalie,
mark your calendars.
Where is that going to be at?
It's going to be across the street in the main sanctuary. So on that Friday, don't come here. We're going to be across the street.
Is that...
All right?
Is that modeling? Or is there going to be modeling, too?
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Oh,
Ryan.
So I can...
Okay.
Yeah.
Go,
No, that's Save it.
Not yet, Ryan. He couldn't hold it.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
Okay.
So, yes, there's awesome. In the paint. We've also got Awesome August coming up. All right, so the very first Sunday and Wednesday in August, please don't come here because we won't have any services over here in youth the entire month of August. You're going to need to go across the street and be with us. You'll see Mr. Ryan. You'll see myself, Mr. Isaac, all these lovely volunteers who feel more like staff. You're going to see us in the building over there. So come sit by us. Say what's up, all right? Let's see. What else do we have? Hot Topics. Ryan, when is this happening?
So we're going to do
this. Are we having a party or something?
Yeah, so we're going to do a nice little karaoke pizza fellowship Hot Topic type shindig the last Wednesday of July. Okay, so come out, bring your friends, bring people that have questions about anything, right? Anything in the culture.
It's gonna be hot.
It's gonna be hot. Hot topics. So bring your questions. This is by popular demand, okay? So we heard you guys want to speak about hot topics, so come through and give us your questions, okay? It's going to be dope.
Can you give us an example of what a hot topic is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Astrology. That's immediately where I would.
Okay, horoscopes and all that.
Horoscope, Pisces. Well, Mr. Ryan, are you a Scorpio, Aquarius? I'm like, why does it matter? Like, how does that, affect me?
Let's talk about it, right?
Yeah,
right?
Let's talk about
talk
it, right?
About it.
So let's talk about it. If you guys are on social media, then there are a bunch of hot topics that you guys see every day, okay, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram especially, and TikTok. So bring those questions to us. We want to be able to help y'all sift through these things and answer some of the questions that you may have, okay? So that's the last Wednesday in July. We're excited about it, and we can't wait to see you.
Good stuff. Awesome. You know that you can join us Sundays at 11, all right, and then Wednesdays at 7 for a Bible study through July. Then we break for August. All right, Tiffany, what else we got? We got some.
All right, so if you are interested in being baptized, there is a sign-up sheet that happens on 5th Sundays, okay? So baptisms are on 5th Sundays, and if you are interested in that, make sure you go sign up at that red table back there. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so we also have ministries for you all. We want y'all to get involved. We don't want y'all to just be sitting up here looking at us because we want to look at y'all up here serving. So we got dance, drama, mime, greeters, worship team, media, Fuse, that's our leadership ministry, and prayer ministry. So please, there's also sign-up sheets for that.
Red table.
We want y'all to get involved, okay?
And today is the last day to sign up. Let me repeat that. For these ministries, today is the last day to sign up.
Yes.
Auditions for some of these ministries will be next Sunday, Sunday, after church, immediately after church.
Yes.
Did everybody hear that? Okay, because I don't want you to come attack me. Miss Nelly, I missed it.
One more time, Miss Nelly.
Listen.
One more time.
These ministries, we want you to get involved. We want you to be blessed, okay? Because God blesses his own. He blesses those who put their hands to the plow and they get in and they work, all right?
Yes.
So today is the last day to sign up for one of these ministries at the Red Table, and then you'll see us next Sunday for auditions for like the worship team, the dance team, drama ministry, my ministry, that kind of thing, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Like it.
And
like it.
All right. And last thing, we want y'all to invite your friends, okay?
Yes.
So if y'all have some friends who they may be like on the line, borderline, not sure where their faith is headed or anything like that, we really want y'all to invite them and so that we can share the gospel with them as well.
Yes. That's it, guys.
So good. Love you guys.
That's it for
Appreciate
your announcements.
Y'all. The school.
The school.
Y'all give it up for the school.
Woo, woo, woo.
Eleventh and 12th graders, hold it down. Ready? You're gonna go like this. Okay, that's 11th and 12th graders. 9th and 10th graders, you're gonna go right here. Don't speed up. 11th and 12th graders, y'all are holding this down. All right, junior highs, keep that beat. Junior highs. Junior highs, right here. Come on. Ninth and 10th graders are right here. Ninth and 10th. Come on, y'all gotta focus and concentrate. Come on, junior hires. All right, here we go. Stop. All right, that was a good practice round. All right, 11th to 12th graders. I'm just trying to do this. Wake us up a little bit. Get this scripture. All right, here we go. 11th and 12th graders, hold me down. Here we go. All right. Stay right there. 9th and 10th, here you come. All right, here we go. Junior hires. Come on, junior hires. All right, now let's see if you get, keep that beat. Let's see if I can put, you guys can put words to it. John 14, 6 today. Here we go. The way, the truth, the life. The way, the truth. Oh, see, y'all can't do it. Keep the beat. Keep going. Here we go. The way, the truth, the life. I'm trying to wake y'all up this morning. The way, the truth. Come on, y'all. Can you keep the beating and say something? This? Oh, y'all, no rhythm. You have to be a... Yes, it does. The way, the truth, the life. The way. No? Come on, we'll get up here and do it. Milan's telling me it ain't going together. So yeah. Slow it down. Yes, it went together. All right, try it like this. The way, the truth, the life. Here we go. The way, the truth, the life. The way, the truth, the life. That's 11 to 12. The truth, the life. 11 to 12. The way, the truth, the life. Now I need to hear you say that. Junior hires. The life. Come on. I need to hear everybody. We're getting the scripture down in our soul today. Come on, one more time. The way. All right. The truth, the life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're the way, the truth, the life. Your word says that no one can come to you except to the Father except through you. Jesus, help us experience our Father today in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, John chapter 14, verse 6. We have been talking about apologetics. Guys, this right here, this scripture right here, everybody say right here. Put a little sauce on it, say right here. Okay, this right here is where it divides everything. Y'all ready? Jesus, we've talked about the truth of the word of God. We've talked about the witnesses. We've talked a lot about last week, Isaac talked about the preeminence of Christ, the omniscience, the omnipotence, his power, who he is. Today, guys, we're gonna stop on a scripture that really, my granny was my favorite person in the world. Shout out to everybody who loves their granny. Y'all love your grannies? Yeah. Aren't grannies the best thing on the planet? I don't know about you, but my granny was amazing. Okay, so I carry my granny in my heart every day, man. She made a huge impact. Her love made a huge impact on my life. And one thing that she did before she passed, she gave me her 1967 Zenith record player. So I have it's like my prized possession in my house. Everybody that comes over, I'm like, you gotta come see my record player. Cause it's original needles, original. She even kept like the manual and everything. So I love going to record stores and just digging through the crates and collecting old records. Well, one thing about a record, have you guys ever heard a record player? Everybody, who's heard a record play? Okay, so like live. Okay, so what happens is you have to pick up the needle and you put it on the actual track. But sometimes what happens is like the record will just scratch or it'll skip, and right? And it makes this like screech. And so it's like there's a vibe and there's a rhythm and a flow to it. And then all of a sudden the record scratches. And it's like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this in Jesus's ministry was where the record scratched. Like, everything in Jesus's ministry was like, oh, you're good. We like your works. We love all these miracles you're doing. He's a good guy. He's a good teacher. He's all this stuff. But then all of a sudden he shows up on the scene and is like, hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. No one comes to God the Father unless he comes to God the Father through me. Wait a minute. Time out. I need you guys to understand the weight and the gravity of this statement. For Jesus to say at that time, when they had been prepared their entire life to recognize the Messiah. I've told you guys this before. They would sing nursery rhymes when they were little babies. In Israel, they would sing little nursery rhymes and they would remind them of the Savior that was going to come, that there is a Messiah. They weren't singing about Humpty Dumpty and row, row, row your boat. They were singing to their babies to help them recognize their whole life as an Israelite, as a person of the promise. You need to be ready, open your eyes, be trained for this truth, that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming to rescue his people. I need you to be prepared your whole life to recognize when he comes. So I want you guys to kind of feel the weight of this, because as kids, they were looking for Jesus. As teenagers, they were trained to look for the Messiah. The Messiah. They were trained to look for who Jesus is, and he shows up. But most of them didn't recognize that he was the Messiah and they had been prepared their entire life. And so he steps on the scene. He's doing all these great works. He's saying all these wonderful things. He's making great claims. But when he says, I am the way, I'm not a way to God. I am the way. See, guys, put a pin in it real quick. This hasn't changed today from back then. It's just as difficult for this claim to be stomached and really, really digested in our society today, probably even more, I would venture to say, than any other time in the history of the world. It is here where the rubber meets the road. When Jesus makes this statement, guys, it divides everything. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's John 14:6. Everybody say John 14:6. John 14:6. This right here, guys, is a scripture that not only should you memorize, you should have it to recall from your heart, but you should be able to understand a little bit of the background and the weight of this statement. And I want to make sure that we get it today. And so he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Put a pause real quick in it. I'm going to break it down into three parts. He says, I am the way. Everybody say, I am the way. I am the way. All right. So when Jesus says, I'm the way, he's literally making a statement that goes back all the way to the history of Israel. Because if you guys remember, when they were in slavery to the Egyptians, Moses goes to God. He has a meeting with God at the burning bush. He has an encounter with God. And this is why I pray every single one of you have a true encounter with God in your personal life. It is the best defense of your faith that you could ever, ever carry. Knowledge is great. Biblical aptitude is great. Understanding the scriptures, it's great. We want you guys to get all of that. But listen, when you have a biblical aptitude or a biblical understanding, when that biblical understanding meets experience, not just experience, but personal experience, it changes everything. When you're missing a personal experience with God, your faith will always be in tension. Unless you're willing to put yourself in position for God to truly show you who he is in your personal life, you will always wrestle with your faith. Amen? So look at me, guys. God wants you to encounter him. It's not some kooky spiritual like, woo, he's going to swoop down with on a white horse and his hair's flowing and he's going to show up as a bright angel in your life. And you're just like, whoa, I had an encounter with God. I'm not going to say God's going to encounter you in any kind of way, but I will tell you this. I don't want you to think that he's not going to encounter you. God is going to speak to you in your life and he's going to put you in positions where he's going to allow you to see him demonstrated in your life. He wants you to encounter him. Moses goes to God. He has an encounter at the burning bush. It changed his entire life. In his entire life. Chad Johnson's life was changed at 17 when I went down to the altar and got on my knees and accepted Jesus into my heart after I heard the gospel preached for the very first time in my life. And I had an encounter with God at the altar, at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was going there to cross people over and take them to the hoop. And I was bawling, but I was there for another purpose. God had another thing in mind. He had a burning bush experience in mind for Chad Johnson that changed the course and the direction of my life forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. It changed my life forever because when I saw God and I met God personally, everything changed. Guys, everything in my life outside didn't change, but it changed from the inside. That's why, period. After I got into Bible college and after I got deeper in the word and stuff like that, I went and I realized everybody doesn't, like, there were people that knew way more Bible scriptures than me. There were people that knew way more Bible history than me. I mean, I went to Bible college for 4 years. These cats were like missionary kids. They had been homeschooled. They went to private Christian school. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And they carried so much knowledge. They carried so much intel about what God does and who he is and what the word says and all these different Christian dynamics and nuances. Chad didn't know any of that. All I knew was my life was falling apart as a teenager. I didn't know what life was about. I was 17 going, I don't know what this life's about. I don't want to do this though. It felt like no purpose, no rhyme or reason to it until I had an encounter with God through Jesus, through the preaching of his gospel at that altar. And I'll tell you this, I don't think I'm special. I think that every single one of us, God desires for us to know that we know that we know that we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. See, I went to Bible college. There was all these different thoughts, all these different ideas, all these, even just within Christianity, there were all these different views and all these different ideas about how God works and how he moves and how the scriptures play out and whether gifts are real and whether things are for today and blah, blah. And I was just so confused. All I know, guys, is that I had a real encounter with God through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So nobody can ever take that away from me. I don't care who says anything. I studied at Oxford in England for a little bit. I've sat with some of the most brilliant minds you could ever imagine. And people have different thoughts and ideas and ways to interpret the word. But at the end of the day, my experience rooted in the word of God, okay? Experience outside of the word will leave you in error. It'll lead you astray. You'll get into a false understanding and a false teaching. But experience rooted in the word of God can change your life forever. Moses goes to God. That's what happened to me. Experience rooted in the word. Moses goes to God, has an encounter with God in the burning bush. And God says, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses is like, okay. There's a million of us enslaved to these crazy Egyptians. They've got us in bondage. We're building their empire. Who do I say to him that has sent me? And what does he say? Come on, y'all. He says what? I am that I am. He said, this is what God defines himself as. God says, tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. I am that I am. God says, this is who I am. This is who I want you to say sent me. And then Jesus shows up. So I want you guys to know this is a part of their history. This is hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years before Jesus. Okay? Before Christ came along, this happens. And so it's a part of their history. The I am statement is one of the statement that holds the most gravity. And Jesus shows up on the scene and they're like, it's all good. We like all this stuff that he's doing. The religious leaders are like, oh, he's a good teacher. He's a good guy. We've seen his works. We can't deny some of these things. But at the end of the day, he's a prophet of God, or he's a good teacher. He's a good guy. But when he says, I am the way. He's stating a claim that ties back to the history of Israel's freedom. They're like, whoa, whoa, time out, bro. Like, we're good with you until you started saying, you're the I am. This statement right here, guys, is a statement where the record scratches. And everybody goes, whoa, 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 whoa. We were good. But the music stopped on that statement. And he says, I am the way. Now, pause. Here's the thing. In your thought, in this day and age, what the thought of this dispensation and day is that Jesus is a way. Muhammad's a way. Buddha is a way. You, God, wherever he resides in you, whatever your idea of God and who you are, is a way. It hasn't changed since Jesus's day, guys. But he says, no, not I am a way, I am the way. Because see, here's the thing. If you don't believe he is the way, then he's not any way at all. Did you guys hear what I just said? If he's not the way, then he's not any way. If you can take, and this is what religious people do, and this is honestly what Christians are doing to people that say they're Christians, well, we'll take his works. We love his works. Oh, Jesus is a good guy. We can't find fault in him. We like this guy. He's cool. But no, Jesus is like, hold up. I'm not just a good guy, a cool guy. I'm the way. If you only take his works and leave out his words, and you only take a little bit of his words or some things that you like, then you have to throw out all four of the gospels. See, the thing with Christ is it's all or nothing. The thing with your belief in God isn't enough. I was taught as a kid, we weren't raised in a household of faith, but we didn't want to go to hell. And we heard about that, and I saw on Easter, ABC would show the Ten Commandments every year, and they would have something to do with the cross and all that stuff. So I was like, I don't know what all this is about, but I know that I was taught, as long as you believe in God, you're going to heaven. That's easy. Who wouldn't do that? I believe in God. So as a kid, I'm like, I believe in God. I thought I was going to heaven. Until I realized the preaching of the gospel became a real thing for me. And when the preaching of the gospel became a real thing for me, I said, wait a minute, I have to make a decision. Christ divides. We have to make a decision. He puts his foot down and says, I am the way. All right, here, I need like, I don't know, five people, just five volunteers. Come on, run up here real quick. Just five, first five, come on. I need somebody to be Jesus. I need somebody to be God. Come on, man. You look mighty, mighty, mighty Jesus-esque today, my man. All right. So you want to be God, bro? All right. So he's going to, my man, what's your name, bro?
KJ.
All right. Say what's up, KJ.
What's up?
Say what's up to KJ, y'all.
What's up?
Hey. Yeah. We good. All right, man. You're going to be Jesus. I want you to stand down there. Just go stand right down there by the cameras and face this way. What's your name? Oh, Ramiah, hey, I can't see with your mask. Here we go. Ramiah is going to, let's have her stand right here. All right, you're going to face that door. What's your name? Dahlia. You're going to face that door. The tornadoes, just don't go out there because I don't know if we can let you back in. All right? You're going to face this way. I want you to face that door. Now, Milan, you're, come on. Milan's going to be mine because she's smiling today, and I love your pretty smile, girl. All right. So Milan is a lost teenager. She's really not. She's amazing. But for this illustration, I want you guys to see this. She's so much going on in her life. She's got all kinds of things happening in her world.
She's trying to search and find her way. Amen? She's trying to find her way, and oops, sorry. All these young people are trying to find their way. Now, if I want you to go down there, right next to my, right next to Jesus. Now, I just want you to see this. This is a simple illustration. But here's what Jesus is saying. There's a lot of roads. There's a lot of roads out there. There's a lot of roads that are people are telling you lead to peace, lead to happiness, lead to your purpose, lead even to heaven or salvation or whatever the afterlife is. There's all these ideas and thoughts. But Jesus said, all these doors people are talking about are trying to get to God, but there's only one way. Now, my man, there's one way to get where you're. That's one way. Walk. There's one way. Walk. There's one way. Walk. There's one way. Walk. Come on, Milan. Walk with him. See? No, I want you guys to stay there after you're done. Okay, stop right here. All these ways led to different doors. Amen? These doors, where are they going? Where does that lead, guys? Come on. I'm not trying to like insult your intelligence. I'm really trying to help you. They're going to the street, man. They're going out there. They're going to be hot. It's humid. It's sticky. They're going to be sweating in about 30 seconds. Ramaya's going out here. Who knows? She's probably going to get in trouble because she's out in the hall and she's supposed to be in church. Amen? So there's all these ways that lead somewhere to a door. But the door, listen, Jesus is like, hold up. I need humankind. I need humanity. I understand that there's a yearning desire because I created you to have relationship with God. So there's this insatiable yearning on the inside of you that says, I want God. And so he's like, I already know where all these roads lead to. These roads lead to different doors and they lead to different circumstances. This one's going to lead you out in the hot. You're going to be sweaty and stank in about 42 seconds. This one, you're going to be in trouble. There's all these different roads, but there's only one road that leads you to God. And it's through Jesus. Here's the thing. You can make up your mind. You are free moral agents. Listen, in my personal opinion, the next most powerful power in the earth next to the Holy Spirit's power is your own willpower. And your willpower, you can get a lot done, guys, because you are made in the image of God. And so when you set your mind, I've watched people do it. I've served in professional athletics for 20 years. I've watched some people accomplish some amazing things just off their own will and volition, passion and desire. God's like, I've given you that. But I want your willpower. It's a powerful thing. I want your will to be submitted to my will. And when you submit your will to my will, I can lead you to God. See, Jesus already knows where the other roads lead. That's why he had to say, I'm the way. I'll come, I'll lead you on the way. The only way to the Father is through who? Come on, y'all. Jesus, he said, I'll lead you to the Father. What does that mean? What does it mean to be led to the Father? Number one, it means that you're going to have life forever with God, forever in eternity. It's secure. Because Jesus didn't just make claims, he backed up his claims. He didn't just state certain truths that had been taught for centuries and millenniums, but he fulfilled those prophecies. He fulfilled not one, two, three. He fulfilled every single prophecy. Every one of them. His life was the fulfillment of all of those things. So when he comes along and he's like, yo, I am the way. Guys, hold up though. The one thing that hadn't happened is he didn't go to the cross yet. He had not laid in the grave yet. And he had not resurrected yet. So when Jesus, can you imagine? He's sitting here saying, I'm the way, Milan, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. If you look at it, his life was getting ready to face, I'm the way? Wait, the way is the cross. They're like, wait a minute. the way is a cross. Then he goes, I am the truth. Do you understand that he was lied on and he was convicted by liars? Jesus was convicted by people lying on him. And he's sitting there saying, I'm the truth. You're the truth, but you're being lied on and you're getting ready to be crucified, executed. It was the death penalty. It was that age's version of the death penalty, the cross. You are on death row because of people lying on you. And he didn't refute them. This is one thing that I think proves, Ryan, what Jesus's validity of being the Son of God. Because you know how some, y'all ever have friends? I've had relationships and friends and just different situations where every single time you bring up anything, the first thing out of their mouth, and you're right. But the first thing out of their mouth is defensive. Like no matter what, bam, just defense. Usually when somebody's defensive like that, it's because they're guilty. When you're just like quickly on the defense, like, oh, that's because you hit a soft spot, either whether it's their insecurities or whether it's their issues or whatever. Jesus did not refute the claim, the lies. See, one of the greatest ways, guys, listen to me. This is from my heart to you. You're going to be lied on in life. As a Christian, you're going to be talked about. You're going to be good until you say emphatic statements, until your life starts making emphatic statements like, boom, Jesus is the way. I'm deciding to say I'm following Jesus, no other way, so that I can get the repercussions and the benefits and the blessing of not just eternal life, but a purpose-filled life that walks me into the kingdom. When your life makes a statement like that, guys, when your life makes a statement like that, listen to me, that's when everything changes and you will be lied on. You will be talked about. You're going to be. If you're going to live for Jesus, there's going to be some crosses that you're going to have to get up on. There's some things we have to just crucify. It's not fun sometimes. But there's a part of this life and this walk that, man, we got to get up on the cross. We got to crucify this flesh and let God, his life in us, purge out the old us so that we can see him and see his works in our life. And so until you make that emphatic statement, until you decide I'm going to put my foot down and make an emphatic claim, yeah, it's easy. But watch, y'all start living for Jesus for real. Watch how jokers turn their back on you. Watch how people start talking about you. I'm not talking about boisterously living like I'm righteous and I'm trying to be better than everybody else. And no, I'm talking about a deep, heartfelt love, commitment to God. When you make that devotion in your heart, your number one priority, you will be lied on. People will walk away from you. You will be talked about. But one of the greatest things, and I love this example in Jesus, one of the greatest ways to defeat a lie, guys, isn't to argue it. It's to outlive it. So lie on me. Lie on me. Talk about me. I'm going to keep living. Lie on me. Talk about me. Do whatever you want to say. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep on staying on this way. And I'm going to let God prove to you who he is in my life. And guys, I promise you this. I can promise this. I can't promise you God is going to encounter you in any specific way. I can promise you he will encounter you and you will encounter him in your life. I can't promise you the way he's going to encounter you, but I can promise you this. He will show up in your life when you make a decision to live for him. I can bet my entire life on it because I've seen it in thousands of young people's lives who have decided to make a commitment to emphatically live for Jesus. And when they've done that, I've seen their lives radically transformed and radically conformed to the thing that God has them set out for. So this claim right here is where it sets everything apart. You guys can go sit down, okay? I just wanted you to see that. Jesus is the way. All right, everybody say the way. So it's rooted, I am the way. Early on, guys, in Christianity, early on, Christians weren't called. In Jesus' day, the thing that he taught when he was like, follow me, and after he left the earth and sent his spirit, guys, listen, they didn't call it Christians. They didn't call people Christians. And see, a lot of people today, They don't have a problem with Jesus. They have a problem with Christians. But there's a difference, in my opinion and in my mind, between a Christian and a Christ follower. See, Jesus' intention in life was never to make us Christians. Woo! Uh-oh, Pastor Chad, you're talking, you're kind of walking tall and heavy, and you're stomping around here on this stage in your Air Force Ones today. Yes, I am. Because listen, his idea was never to make you a Christian. His idea was never to make you all polished up and look all prim and proper and do all these good Christian antics, and you're a good Christian cheerleader. You got all the Christian dance moves, and you got all the Christian attire, and you know how to say all the Christian things, and you know how to put your blessed and highly favored church smile on. I'm so over it. Church gets old like that, y'all. Because people just go through the motions. And for us to train you guys as young people to understand, we don't want to make you Christians. We want to make you Jesus followers. We want you to understand that the way was always his intention. See, back then in Jesus' day, they didn't call them Christians. They would ask, I would meet her in Jerusalem, and I would say, are you on the way? You know what that meant? Do you follow Jesus? They called it the way. Why? Because of this right here. He said, listen, y'all, this is where I want you guys to be in your life, on the way. I don't want you to be a polished, yay, pump faker. I don't want you to be that polished pump faker that makes everybody think you're good. And if you were to die tonight, God forbid, you'd be a part of judgment. So the question is, are you on, everybody say, the way? Are you on the way? It's a massive claim, a massive claim. I am the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. See, it's not enough just to believe in God. That's not narrow enough. And that tosses away the work of the cross. He says, believe in me. But really, this is how you find life. The truth and the life. It's through following me. Because Jesus, in this moment, when he's making this claim, like I said, he's getting ready to be lied on. He's sitting around, I'm the truth. I'm getting ready to be lied on. I know I am. And I'm the life. Oh, by the way, I'm getting ready to be executed. I'm getting ready to have to go through the death penalty. The truth, the life. I'm the life, but in a few days from there, he's getting ready to be dead. Think about it. He didn't refute the lies. He didn't crawl off the cross. He endured it. Why? Because he had such a tight-knit connection to God. Listen, that he knew that everything he was getting ready to face, God was going to prove to everyone around him, all the haters, all the naysayers, all the liars, all the killers, all the people that were spitting on him, cursing at him, doing all this. God was getting ready to be his proof. And the same God who proved himself in Jesus' life is the same God who wants to prove himself in your life. And so then he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Everybody say the truth. Now, we've dealt a lot with the truth. We've dealt a lot with the truth, but there's many perspectives on the truth. I think we can do this. I think I got a quick little illustration. We can do it in 2 minutes. All five of y'all right here in the front row, go outside real quick. Ryan, take them out there real quick. All five of y'all. Yeah, just go out real quick. Just go out. Bye. Later. Everybody wave bye-bye. You're out. All right. Who's got some drama? Who's got drama skills in here? Come on. Come on, y'all. I need you to help me. Stand up if you want, if you got some drama. You can act. Come on, come up here, come up here. All right, come on, hurry. We got to do this quick. Come up here. What we're going to do, this is what I want you guys to do. Okay. Oh, it's all the fellas. All the fellas got drama, huh? All right. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, so So, oh, you want to act too? We know you want to act. All right. So, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make up a quick little scenario real quick. And what's going to happen is I want you guys to see what happens. And then they're going to come in and we're going to reenact it. And then we're going to let them tell us what they saw. Okay? So, let's create some drama here. You guys are at school. You're kind of like, you know, you both got dope hair. And so the girls are like, ooh, we like him, right? And so we like them. So, but they got school drama, right? And these dudes, these three right here, they're like, you know, they're the ones, they're coming, they're trying to pull. I want you guys to try to, you know, you guys are living for God. Girls are tempting. There's all this stuff going on. But I want y'all to come up and just try to like get them out of where they're at in life. And Ramai, I don't know, just do something. I just want y'all to act and we'll just go through a scenario. All right. We'll just create some drama real quick. Okay. So this is junior high school drama. All right. Get them off the path. All right. So you guys go start there. You're going to walk down the road here on the way. You guys try to Just try to get them off the path. Now, remember, whatever you do, you have to do again in front of them exactly the same. Okay. All right, fellas, come on. Walk up here. There's drama. You guys got stuff going on. You're at school. What's happening at school? You got to go get them off the path. Ramiah, do something crazy. Okay. Okay. All right. But come back. All right. Come back. Now I need you guys to say something though. Like say a few things in it. All right. Not, this isn't a silent skit. All right. So go back. Y'all. Yeah. Y'all gotta like, you know, y'all are over here. Whatever. Jesus is not the way. You go over. Somebody go over there and elbow him. Hey man, you go over there and, you know, pull him aside. Do something emphatic. All right. Here we go. Ready? This is it. Ramiah, you just be drama for your mama, okay? Like big time. All right, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Go, guys.
I like that.
And now you pull him out. Okay, Ramiah, grab him in the blue. Grab him in the blue and bring him up here. Steal him away from those guys. And you bring them to me. Okay, perfect. All right, guys. So come on, get your position. Let's reenact it. Okay, go get your positions. We're gonna reenact that exactly the same thing. All right, Ramiah, so you're gonna go steal them from them and you're gonna bring them to me. All right, here we go. Bring them back in. Let them sit on the front row. Even better. Kelly, you stay right there. All five of y'all spread out across the sanctuary. Different perspectives from different vantage points. I want you to watch. Malcolm, you go back in over there by the ping pong table. Darren, just right there, bro. Milan, why don't you just go ahead and sit in your seat and you got an up close and personal look at this. All right. Okay, guys, watch. Those of you that just came back in, watch real close. You guys ready? Go. Go. Let's go. Come on, speak up.
Oh my goodness.
He's trying to get to me. Wait a minute. Y'all, they're acting different, huh? Yeah, I said do the same exact thing. The same exact thing. Wait. Okay, y'all. Y'all messing up my illustration. Come on, do it again. Reset. You got to do exactly what we saw before they came in. No, you didn't know. You went and got him and grabbed him and brought him up to me. Y'all don't be ad-libbing. Remember, he's trying to get to me and you're pulling him away from getting up to me. Okay. All right, here we go. Last time. Here we go. Quickly. Here we go. Ramiah, come on. Stay focused, sister. Here we go. All right, my man. Come on. Let's go. Go. right here, right here. All right, stop. Okay, Kelly, what did you see? What did you see just happen real quick? Okay, so that's Kelly's interpretation. Looked like somebody, these two were trying to get to Jesus, somebody around the corner, they came back. I don't know who with Jesus though. All right, good, thanks. Darren, what'd you see? Just tell me what happened, yeah. Shh, listen. Okay. Who else? Malcolm, where you at? Malcolm, what'd you see, bro? Malcolm's like, I don't know what happened. Okay, you're confused, brother. All right, Milan. Tell us what you saw. Yeah. Oh wait. Layla, you got it, sis? Tell us what happened.
So I'm with Malcolm. I don't know what was going on. I thought it was some paparazzi celebrity because she was doing like this.
Jesus paparazzi. Okay, thanks for being honest. Milan, what's your interpretation, sis? Now, what did you see? Not what you just heard. What did? Okay.
I like that.
All right. Good perspectives. Everybody sit down. Yeah. Everybody sit down.
A round of applause.
Everybody sit down. Sit down. Now. Crowd, those of you that were in here before they got dismissed, what happened? These two, here we go. These two were trying to get to me, who's Jesus, right, in this illustration. They're trying to get to me. These brothers were figuring out ways to try to distract them from the way. They were trying to pull him off. They were trying to shout things to him to say, you know, not believe. Then Ramiah comes and she's just extra drama. I don't know what all she was doing. But the bottom line was they were trying to get to Jesus and there were obstacles trying to get them off of the way. Now, there was one truth that just took place. But what you heard from five different people was pretty much five different things. Now, we could have polished that illustration up and made it real good and prim and proper, but you guys get the idea. When truth is communicated through hearsay and truth is not experienced personally or seen or witnessed personally, it becomes a situation where everybody's confused. Every one of y'all were confused, right? So here's what happens, guys. Do you understand why it's so important for you to have a personal experience and connection with God? Because if not, we're in church. These are church kids watching what happened in one setting. Five different perspectives. It is so vitally important that you decide to understand that Jesus wants to be personal with you. And guess what? This is the biggest defense of your faith. The biggest thing that I can give you in your life to say apologetics in your life starts with your heart. You can go argue the word all day long, but if you don't believe it in your heart, man, when you've seen and experienced for yourself, You can sit there all day and say, no, that's not what happened. Those guys were trying to get to Jesus, and there were too many distractions. It wasn't paparazzi, Layla. Although I love that. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you guys get my drift? Y'all with me? Holler back. Y'all with me? That's why it's so important that you know him for yourself. And that's why Jesus, when he came along, he's like, look, you can. There's a lot out there about God, but there's one way. There's one truth. There's only one scenario that was true in that story, guys. And the only scenario that was true was that they were getting distracted from getting to Jesus. That's the truth. And then he says, I am the life. Here's the powerful thing. The powerful thing behind this, when he says, I am the life, he's making a statement that basically says, if you follow me, there's a lot of definition out there about what the life is. For your generation, it's about getting your bag, and everything in between. Get your money, build your net worth, build your brand, build your followers, build this. There's so much out there about the thoughts of your life. But listen, guys, there's one truth to the definition of real life. And Jesus says, I'm that. So when you follow the way, when you believe on this truth, guess what? It allows you to step into a door that allows you to experience life. Everybody say life. When Jesus is making that claim, he's also, there's a reference back when he, in John 10:10 earlier in the book, and he says, the thief, listen, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. Everybody say life. But not just life. The world's going to tell you there's a life that you can live to the fullest. But Jesus says, when you come to me, you have the opportunity to live a life that is life to the fullest. When he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest, or life to the in the abundance, or more abundantly. The word in Greek for life there, when he's defining it, when he says, because some of us are like, yo, if you're like me as a teenager, what is this life about? Jesus says, I have a life for you that's life to the fullest. How is it that Jesus can find the life that's to the fullest for you? How would he know that for you? How would he know that for you better than you know that for you? How is it that Jesus would know the definition of life for you is better than your own definition of life for you? Because he's the one that created you. He knows your makeup. He knows what really is going to fulfill you. He knows what really is going to cause you to feel like this is the reason I breathe air. And the only way you find that is when you find him. And so he goes, I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the Zoe life. Zoe. Some people are named Zoe. Zoe, it means, it's a Greek word for that scripture right there. Life to the fullest. Life to the fullest. Zoe life. How is it that you can step into Zoe life? Life to the fullest. When you decide to walk through the door. See, here's what's happening. In the kingdom of God, that's why the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. The life that you truly desire is waiting on you, but there's an order to this. Seek first the kingdom of God, its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, listen to me, is God's way of doing life. It's his way of doing things. When I decide to step into the kingdom is open to me. Is that kind of deep? Here, okay, let me explain it. You can walk outside those doors. You can walk past this chapel. There are people walking by right now and they're peeking in and they're wondering what's going on in here. See, they can look through the window and they can peek in, and that's a lot of what a lot of us are doing in our walk with God right now. We're walking by the door and we're peeking in. We're like, I don't know. And you have your own interpretation of what's going on in that Christian walk and in that way. But see, the kingdom is going to function and it's open to you. It's going to, and it's happening regardless. God wants you a part of it. But the only way you get into the kingdom and experience the kingdom is when you're open to the kingdom. So what do you have to do? Instead of peeking in the doors, you've got to open up the door and you've got to step in. If you step in this room, you experience what took place in this room. You can't experience what's taking place in this room outside in the hallway. Y'all with me? It's the same thing with the kingdom. Some of us are like, I don't get this Christian thing. I don't understand this whole thing. Well, open your door. Open the door to the kingdom, which is a door of your heart, and you step into the kingdom, his way of doing things. Here's what happens when you step into his way of doing things, you experience what God said the definition of life is. A lot of us are like, well, I need to experience God before I can really step in. Don't work that way, y'all. You're peeking in. I'm done right here. But earlier in the text, Jesus, I think it's Matthew, no, it's earlier in the Gospels, Matthew 14, I think. Matthew 14, if I'm not mistaken, it's Matthew 14. Jesus is walking on water. There's a storm. His disciples are in a boat. And Jesus is walking on water. And guys, the disciples get scared. They're like, yo, who's out there on the water? They're on the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. Sometimes storms can just sweep through that place. And it's crazy. It's like quick. And all of a sudden, the storm hits. And they're like, who is that on the, it's a ghost. And he goes, no, listen, it is I. Don't be afraid. Here goes that claim again. I am. Ah! You mean you're that one in the burning bush? Disciples, but watch this. He says it is I. He's walking on water. Watch this, guys. I'm done. He's walking on water. He wants his disciples to experience the same thing he's doing. Listen to me. This is the kingdom. God wants you to experience his kingdom. But the disciples can't stay in the boat to experience what God is doing. The only way to experience what God is doing in their life is they've got to also engage in this thing and they got to get out of the boat themselves. And so he says, no, no, no. I'm not going to prove to you who I am. I'm going to show you who I am, but it's going to require that you step out of where you are in order to experience what I can do in your life. This is the way the kingdom works. Amen. Everything that God has intended for you will happen in your life, but it doesn't happen walking by the window and peeking in. Today, the best apologetic thing that I can give you guys is a life that's full of God's proof. His stamp of approval on your life. Guys, I promise you, he's going to do it. There are people in this room that I know for a fact that God's fingerprint, his thumbprint, his proof, his evidence is getting to be radically proven in your life. But it's requiring, it's only contingent upon you opening up the door and stepping into the kingdom. When you decide, that's when God decides, I'm going to show him who I am. See, when Peter got out of the boat, he was doing the same thing Jesus was doing. He wasn't walking on water. He was walking on God's word. He would have sank if Jesus hadn't called him. But because Jesus said, come, I got you, bruh. And he believed his words. So he believed his words. He stepped out on his words. So when he's stepping on his words, he's doing what Jesus is doing. He gets to experience God. Bow your head. Father, we're challenged today to make a hard decision in our life, that our life would start to prove and really show from the inside out, not for people's praise, not for showmanship, not for performance, but because we really want to see you in our life, that you are the way, the truth, the life. If there's anybody here today with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to step out of the boat and say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to believe in him, just raise your hand. And I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. He died for me. He rose for me. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you guys raising your hands. Those of you that are raising your hands, what I'm going to have you do, as soon as we get done praying, we're going to dismiss for snacks. But I want those of you that are raising your hands to go over to the room that leads to outside over here to my left. And our staff's going to talk to you real quick. And I just want to, we want to pray with you, okay? Don't not walk over there and allow us to help you take that step of faith. For the rest of us, I just want to do a hard moment here. You're saying, Pastor Chad, I'm challenged by this word today and I need to make a decision. I'm a Christian. I believe I'm a follower of Jesus, but I need to put my foot down a little bit on some things. And I want to see God in my life show up and I need to step out of the boat. If that's you, just recognize we're going to respond to God's word to our hearts this morning. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. I need to make some. Amen. I see you. Thanks, guys. Yeah. I see you. Awesome. I pray in Jesus' name that as you step out and as you make these hard declarations in your life, that God will show himself in ways that can only be proven to you and you alone. God's going to do it. He's going to show you who he is. But you got to open up the door and step into the kingdom. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we believe on Jesus Christ. And you said anyone that believes on the rock will be saved. So we place our feet on the rock of Jesus Christ. God, root us in that and let our life show that we're rooted on the rock. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.